never love you.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome in. Happy Tuesday. No Willard and Dibs this week. It's Mark Randy, Lo Neal, and Jake Hutchinson with you here from 2 to 6 on 95.7 The Game. Of course, you know Lo Neal, one of the best fullbacks of all time. Jake Hutchinson, you read his stuff on the Niners and all things Bay Area sports on 95.7 The Game. It's awesome to be back with you guys for Take 2 here this week on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. As we just talked about, we got a busy show today. Three guests. We got Mark Schlereth, Stink, coming on at 3 to talk Niners. We'll hear from Greg Cosell, one of the NFL's foremost film experts. That's coming up at 4:15. And then we'll shift gears, get into some Warriors basketball after the Dubs have blown two big leads in the second halves of their last two games, including last night at home to Brooklyn. Warriors coach Steve Kerr comes on the show at 5. So a busy day today here on 95.7 The Game. But guys, we've got to stick with the 49ers. That carried us through the entire show yesterday, of course. The rough loss in Green Bay. They're now 5-6. They're gearing up for more cross-country travel to Buffalo to take on the Bills in cold, snowy conditions, most likely. But we're kind of, it almost feels like we're doing a post-mortem on the season, even though the season is still far from over. I know, Lo, you said a couple of things about maybe the team is you know, ready to give up. Maybe they're ready to just take the offseason off and get ready for next season. We were talking off the air, getting ready for the show. There's been so many things and moments, maybe kind of point towards this season never really getting off the ground, and it almost feels like we're talking about the season as if it was dead on arrival. You had all the offseason drama. Of course, you had, I mean, losing the Super Bowl, first of all, and then you have the injury to Dre Greenlaw. You got the contract disputes with McCaffrey and Ayuk and Trent Williams. You've got what you talked about, Hutch, as an awkward, non-existent training camp. And then you have just a season that you've never gotten any sort of rhythm or momentum going. It almost feels like we're talking a season that was dead from the beginning.
I'm with you. I think you start from the jump, and the vibes just felt off. You know, you had contract disputes that lingered on too long. The 49ers, they could have won the one, if you want to say one, with Ayuk, and they could have made him play on his fifth-year option, and now they're dealing with the fact that he's out for the year. But even him playing, like, he wasn't himself because he missed training camp, and all of their training camp was just brutal. Because they had no McCaffrey, they had no Ayuk, Trent Williams was holding out, they had a bunch of other injuries, no Dre Greenlaw. They just had no juice. I was there almost every day, and you're watching second and third string guys practice. And I think that stuff does really matter. And so you go into the season with that, with all the bad vibes, and then you lose those horrible games early to the Rams and the Cardinals, and nothing is really clicking. Your offensive line isn't physical. Your defensive line allows too much against the run. It's just hard to believe in this team.
It really is. And when you think about that, what you just laid out so eloquently, just talking about the fact that they just didn't have a regular training camp because of holdouts. I'm talking about significant holdouts. You're talking about the MVP Dornier. We're talking about McCaffrey, what he was able to do in the running game last year. So you have him. You have arguably the best tackle in the league, the best running back in the league, and a top-tier receiver in the league. You're one of the best linebackers in the league. So where is your continuity? You're talking about watching just the, you know, them put together offenses and really didn't have a tough training camp because you didn't have enough of your star players in. That hurts. And when you watch the way that they jumped into the season, you saw the inconsistency at those positions. You saw Brandon Ayuk once he came in, drop balls, and everyone's like, why did we pay this guy? You saw the different things, you know, Trent usually dominant, you know, at times getting pushed back, giving up sacks. Because not that they lost it, it was just lack of being able to be prepared for the season. And so you've always been playing catch up. And you see that it just caught up with the 49ers. You had too many guys that needed to get paid, wanted to get paid, and understandably, get your money, get your chicken. Don't talk about another man's chicken. But when you did that, you lost something.
No question.
You lost something.
No question. And they had the fact that they were on the verge of trading Brandon Ayuk, and he came running in, and Kyle Shanahan sprinted up to John Lynch's office.
Get off the phone. Hang it up. Don't trade him.
Right. You made the decision, right? You decided, okay, we're going to pull the trigger on this. And then Ayuk said, no, I'll take the deal. You should just stick with what decision you made at that point. And granted, I'm someone who is very high on Ayuk. I think he's a really underrated receiver. He started to come around. George Kittle talked about it right as he got hurt. But the way that worked, the way how unprofessional he was in that situation, and then you could have traded him and you could have gotten draft capital and avoided some of the cap hits that you're facing this year, I think they definitely regret that move right now.
You just got to realize, Brandy, that no matter what, guys are not going to be happy. Organizations, hey, I've been through it. You experience it. You see, and you're like, man, that's wrong how they did that guy. That's just the part of this business. When you get them, you stick it to them. As a player, they're not your friends. You stick it to them. When you get the opportunity to take it, then do it, because that's going to come around to you. And that's John Lynch understands that, because he's one of those guys in a contract situation. He gets it. But you got to understand, you can still love a guy, and you still can be friends with the guy. You still can respect a guy, but you got to know when to turn the page on a guy and say, look, I think your services are amazing. I love what you did for us. But look, we can't, because this doesn't fit. It doesn't fit our budget. We love what you did. We hope the best for you, but we're turning the page, and we want the best for you, but we're not willing to go where you want us to go. That's football. That's making a business decision. This team is not doing that, and it's costing them, in my opinion.
Okay, so all those issues during the offseason, during the preseason, during training camp, all of that. All right, then you come into the season, and it's a little bit of an uneven start. You start 1-2, right? You start 2-3. You have the terrible loss to the Rams and to the Cardinals. And then you beat Seattle. You're feeling like, okay, maybe you're turning it around. And the Niners have always kind of been a slow-starting team, and you figure it out post-bye into November and December. I think we all kind of expected, it to get turned around, as it has in years past. Is all those preseason issues, all those off-season issues enough that are still affecting the team now, or is it just that they dug themselves too deep a hole that maybe the belief has been zapped out of the locker room? They're just making internal decisions. Is this worth it? Do I want to put my body on the line continually just to maybe win this division, when instead maybe I could, take it a little bit easy, take the full offseason off and gear up for 2025? It feels like we're past the point where what happened in the offseason should still be impacting them, and now we're in a totally different issue now.
Right. I think it does matter in terms of, you're not functioning at the... This is an offense that is so intricate and detailed with terms of timing and motion and all that stuff that Kyle Shanahan loves. I think that stuff matters in terms of getting it right from the start, especially like Ricky Pearsall is playing a ton now because of, the gunshot wound and all that. Yeah. He had almost no practice, and he had the shoulder injury before that. You just have a lot of guys that aren't in sync with what the offense is supposed to be. And I think when they have turned it around, the offensive line started slow but started to come around. They started to get physical. They started to grind teams into a pulp in the run game. And because you can't lean on that, now Brock Purdy's hurt and Trent Williams, and your defensive line used to be the linchpin of it, and that's not what it is anymore. You've got all these pillars that are just crumbling around you. And it's hard to lean on anything that's really solid for them. And I think the offseason didn't do all of that, but it certainly didn't help them going in the right direction in a season that they needed to do their work early, and they really didn't.
Yeah, and you, I know what you're like, hey, look, this season is already past the halfway mark. Why shouldn't they be in shape now? Shouldn't all that be behind them? Yes, but the bottom line is you weren't good enough in the first place.
Mm.
The bottom line is, you don't have the same defensive front. The bottom line is, you got to realize, we talked about a guy last year who this team went out in week number 8 and made that trade for, and now he's in New Orleans, the pass rusher that, that was the first pick, Chase Young.
Yeah.
Think about it. Did you get better? Think about Chase Young. We talked about how stiff he was, and he's kind of, plays a little high, couldn't move his hips, stiff. But Chase Young still brought something to the table. You look at your interior line. Graves down now. You brought in other guys. Your off defensive line, you weren't great last year. Think about what you got. You fired the defensive coordinator. Got fired last year, bro.
Yep.
Your defense was leaking last year. There has been a huge fall off. And now, so you're saying, okay, so what happened? Where's the hangover? You have to realize it was already sliding, but you had an offense and you had some things that could cover up what was going on because you could still run the ball. You had better, you could throw the ball, do a lot of other things that hit a lot of things from the defense. But now when your offense is struggling, because McCaffrey, the big three, McCaffrey, your best receiver, your best offensive lineman, those three guys were out. So you had those guys out. The part that used to be the strength of your team has now been weakened. Your defense has already been weak, and you're still losing guys defensively. And people say, well, what's wrong with the team? It was already starting this digression. It was right in front of our eyes. We just didn't see it.
Yeah, it goes back to the drafts that were supposed to give you guys that you have a pipeline, right? Yeah, you have a pipeline. You've got young guys who are working their way up, and if you'd gotten drafts right, in 2021, 2022, you know, leading up to this, you wouldn't have to lean on all of your rookies and your special teams, which has been a nightmare. That's where you get depth. You don't want to play your starters on special teams, but you've got young, up-and-coming athletic guys, and they whiffed so much, and they spent so much in the Trey Lance trade that they had to go for, like, a Devondre Campbell, which wasn't even their first choice. They wanted Eric Kendricks, who reneged on the deal, yep. And he went to the Cowboys. And so that tells you, like, what he thought of them, and obviously money was a factor there. But you just don't have enough in the cupboards from the last few drafts to really count on a lot when things don't go right and you do have injuries, because it's a top-heavy roster, and that goes back to, I think, a bunch of those drafts.
You hit. You missed on this draft. Solomon. Think about Solomon from Stanford. You drafted him first, top couple picks. Green, and then you had Kinlaw, big defensive line. Everyone thought, missed on there. And what have they done? These guys are in the league. Name me, these guys are Pro Bowl players? Are they middle-of-the-road players? Are they just average guys? They're just guys. But you put a lot of draft capital into those guys, and you miss. Those aren't the guys that are – they that should have been bringing you a reward. That should have been yielding you something, because you drafted these guys so high, that should have yielded you something. But when you did not get anything out of that, now you could bring a young guy in the third or fourth round that could spare those guys, give them some breaks, because now they're, you know, in their latter part. But you didn't do that. So you don't have the draft capital. So your line has always been deteriorating, and now you're taking a swing and a miss on guys free agent to try to go out and bring those guys in that left their team, that their better years are probably behind them, and you went out and tried to bring those in, and it's just not panning out.
I got to give you credit, Lo, because you and I were talking, I forget exactly which week it was, but after you got off the air on one of the kickoff shows early in the year, you did it with Evan, you guys do a great job, and I was sitting out there getting ready to watch the game here in the studio,
right?
And you were like, they don't have it this year. And this was like maybe week three, week four. They don't have it. So, I imagine none of this has really surprised you that much.
No, it really doesn't. And it's not a bad thing. You just got to go back to the drawing board. You got to understand, hey, look, you missed. You got to figure out, what is this thing going to take? When you build in baseball, you build from middle out. Catcher, pitcher, center field, that's baseball. Football, same way. Center, quarterback, middle linebacker. Say, you have to make sure you get those pillars. You got to build in the trenches. You got to build. This team has to overhaul and has to focus. You got to leave these skill positions and go. Skill positions, go look. Look at the Rams. Look at their quarterback. Look at the receiver. Where'd he come from? This little receiver. Look how he's just done. Go look around the league. Skill positions, man. I know people put a lot of weight on an emphasis. Yes, there are certain guys that you have to. But I'm telling you, the bulk of your draft should come in the trenches to build the kind of team you want. That's where the money needs to be spent.
I'm absolutely with you. I'm excited to talk with Mark Schlereth, a guy who knows that as well as anyone later today. But I just want to read off what they did in the last few drafts. You had, not this year, but the year before, you started with Jair Brown, and you draft Jake Moody, and then it's Cam Latu. Yikes.
Hasn't played a single regular season snap.
Correct. You got Darrell Luter, Robert Beal, D. Winters, whatever. These are late round picks. The year before, Drake Jackson. No sight of him.
Right.
Hasn't played. Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray. These are all third round picks. The year before, you go Trey Lance, Aaron Banks over Creed Humphrey, by the way, who is an all world center that could solve some of your issues. And then you go Trey Sermon and Ambry Thomas in the third round. They're top level picks before this season for the last three drafts really have just been brutal, and you can't survive like that, especially when you're not really investing, like you said, in the trenches, which is something you need when you're going to rely on the run game and put so much on Christian McCaffrey.
And there was like a shift, and this is something I want to get into. We got to take a break in a minute, but there was a shift for Shanahan and Lynch when building the roster, when they went from what you guys are talking about, building from the trenches out. But they flipped the switch, and now they're doing it in the complete opposite way. And it's probably time to switch back and start over. And you still got a lot of talent on the outside, but maybe you get back to the other style, which is drafting offensive linemen, drafting defensive linemen, nose tackles that can free up Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, those kind of guys. That's how they built the team. I remember Kyle Shanahan telling this story. I forget, it might have been on the Tim Kawakami show, the TK show. I forget exactly where it was. But once the Niners acquired Christian McCaffrey, trade deadline a couple years ago, Shanahan shared a story saying essentially, we didn't want to draft McCaffrey in the 2017 draft because we wanted to draft like offensive and defensive linemen and make sure that when we have someone like McCaffrey, we have the pieces around to make him successful. So then they felt like they attacked the offensive line enough. They go out and acquire Christian McCaffrey, and of course last year he was Offensive Player of the Year. But now they're running into an issue where they have McCaffrey, but they don't have anybody in front of him that can help him be successful. So maybe it's time to change it up and get back to what they were doing in the first place. We can talk more about that on the other side. You got to take a quick break here on Willard and Dibbs. No Willard and Dibbs this week, though. Happy early Thanksgiving to everybody out there. It's Mark Randy, Lo Neal, and Jake Hutchinson with you. We are sponsored by the all-new Honda of Vallejo. We're back with more after this on 95.7 The Game.
Willard and Dibs.
What was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
Well, I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
That was Cheryl Bosa and Nick Bosa. Niners desperately missed Nick Bosa on Sunday in Green Bay against the Packers. Welcome back to Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. No Willard and Dibs this week. They're off for Thanksgiving, and happy early Thanksgiving to everybody out there. It's Mark Randy, Lo Neal, and Jake Hutchinson with you. Lo Neal, of course, one of the greatest fullbacks to ever roam the earth. Jake Hutchinson, you read his stuff on the Niners and all things Bay Area sports on 95.7 The Game. Back for day number two with this crew here on Willard and Dibs, and we've been breaking down Niners and where the season went wrong, and it seems like it went wrong from the very beginning. The second the Super Bowl ended, nothing has really gone smoothly for the San Francisco 49ers, and I wanted to ask you guys this question because I was listening to Steiny and Guru earlier today, and this is a question that Steiny threw out early on, and I think we can use this question to get into what I want to talk about, and that is, what's the main culprit for the 49ers' failures so far this year? And I think a lot of people might say injuries. A lot of people might say, I don't know, maybe Shanahan's failure to adjust. A lot of people might go what you guys were talking about just last segment. It is just you don't got the dogs in the trenches anymore, right? So would you guys agree with it? Is it just you simply don't have the dudes in the trenches anymore to get stuff done? Is that the main reason for the Niners' failures so far this year?
I think that's a major part of it. Yeah. I think when you don't have a center, and especially a left guard, who are able to get push in the run game, which is, again, one of the foundations of how you operate as a team. Everything is based off of that. You run play action off of it when the run game is going well. I think that's a fundamental problem. And also, you're old, man. Sorry if that's harsh, but this team has been through the ringer. They've been through playoff games year after year after year. And the fact that they can usually turn it around when they start slow, yeah, sometimes they can do that. But this team, for a number of reasons, I think a lot of it being in the trenches and just not having those weapons and having star players who have been through a lot and get hurt because they're older and because they have been through all those games, I think it comes up with a recipe of you went into the season kind of unprepared after a bad training camp. You don't have any of the depth where you can afford a lot of these injuries. And then when it comes time to execute, you almost always have a key penalty at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it starts, in, like I said earlier, just in the trenches, like we're continuing to talk about the horses. When you play quarterback and you think about Tom Brady, arguably, if not the best quarterback that ever played. If there were speed rushers that came on the edge of Tom Brady, played with some great pass rushers in his era, that guys like to get up the field, Dwight Freeney, Sean Merriam, all the guys, you just name it, guys that could get after you. What did he do? He stepped up in the pocket. Not necessarily run, Lamar Jack, all those other guys they want to take off, but he would step up in the pocket. When you have speed guys outside, you got to be able to climb up in a pocket and still keep your eyes downfield. When you don't have a good center and the pocket now is in your lap, you can't step forward. Yeah. You have to keep drifting back. It leads into more sacks. You can't climb in the pocket. It takes away vision. When you can't climb in the pocket to be able to stay in the safe zone as a quarterback, now you're fleshing out, now you're moving, now you got to take your eyes off of downfield. It puts you in a different place. Hence, why does Purdy have more? He scrambles more than any quarterback. You talked about all the things that he has to do this year because of the fact it's breaking down up front. Because there's not the solid, consistently blocking up front, Purdy is now out of his element, and he has to run and make him plays with his legs more than he has to. It's off schedule, and it's put a huge strain on the offense. It's affected him, but yet he might scramble for that first down. But if he would have had a second more, he would have hit a touchdown.
No question.
Yeah. You ask what's wrong with this offense. Why isn't it scoring? So now Purdy breaks pocket because he has to run out because the pocket's in his face and he can't go downfield and have those big, huge plays. And we're cheering because he scrambled and picked up 10 yards for a first down and kept the chains moving, but he missed a touchdown. That's a problem.
Yeah. I also think from an X's and O's perspective, teams ripped off the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs threw a ton of man coverage. They pressed the Niners receivers, dared them to win. Debo Samuel, that was one of the main reasons they lost the Super Bowl. Trent McDuffie just clamped Debo in man coverage. And a lot of teams threw that at the Niners, and they didn't really have answers for it. And then when they get into key third down situations, a lot of the time what happens is teams will overload one side. The 49ers' protections, even if they do hold up, they might not be set right, and so you got free rushers, often to Purdy's blind side, so he's taking a lot of shots, and he has to throw hot, which is how the 49ers tend to run their offense. They don't max protect like other teams for the most part. They say, all right, if someone's coming, you throw hot to this guy, and what teams figure it out is, if that's like a 3rd-and-7 situation, you can make him throw 4 or 5 yards and stop that. And so you go 4th-and-2, 49ers don't go for it a lot of the time, or they're not in a position to go for it.
Yeah.
And teams have stopped the 49ers that way because a lot of their bread and butter stuff doesn't work, and teams have played more zone now that McCaffrey's back, but you're still not getting push on the offensive line with McCaffrey back, so you can't really even get to that bread and butter stuff.
Yeah. Without a doubt, when you're in 3rd-and-5 or more, it's hard to be able to, you can't just sit, defense can go play sticks. They understand because the pressure can get to you. So you're 3rd-and-3 or less, that's when you can win off hots. When you have hots, that means there's 2 to a side. That means you can say, okay, we don't care if we max, they don't care if they max protect. We're going to bring one extra guy from a side. And so what the receiver has to do, he's hot. So he's hot at just. So he's lined up. And if it takes 2 come, that means the receiver looks in and him and the quarterback's on the same page and he knows hot. That's exactly what, you know, he's talking about there. So when that happens, Jake's saying, hey, look, when they're going hot like that, the quarterback has to get rid of the ball. So it's usually a 2 or 3 yard route because it's the beat the hot route. You don't, can't get 6, 7, 8 yards because you don't have the time. Now, I just talked about the offense side of the ball. What's going on with the breakdown up front? Quarterbacks, the ball, you know, the defensive line is in his lap. He can't climb up in the pocket, so he has to scramble. And now he's out of, you know, he's out of sync, missing the touchdown, missing the home run. That's where he's saying, why isn't this offense able to score? Why aren't they scoring a lot more points? Because you don't have time, and your receivers can't beat one-on-one press. That's what. Now let's switch to the defense side of the ball. If you don't have the same situation, if you don't have a nose guard or a guy that's playing the 3 technique that can create a new line of scrimmage and be dominant at the point of attack, you are giving up 4 or 5 yards of crack. When you're giving up 4 to 5 yards of crack on defense, you're a sieve. And you can't stop. If you can't stop the run, now teams can run, they can pass, they can play action. And then you say, okay, we got to commit because we can't stop the run. So now we got to put eight guys in the box, nine guys in the box. Now we got a single high safety. Now you open up for play action because now the linebackers have to cheat up. They're cheating up because they're saying, we got to hit this because if we stay back 5 to 7 yards like a linebacker stays back, if we stay back, they're going to get on us and they're going to be able to get us downfield. So we got to hit it. And so once you hit it now.
Now you can beat over the middle. Yeah.
There you
go. So, but I agree with everything you guys are saying, but this also seems like, I mean, the Niners' offensive line has been relatively healthy all season long, right? Like, you haven't had a lot of injuries there. Obviously, Trent Williams right now is a bad one and a major one, and you're going to be much worse as an offensive line without Trent Williams. Defensive line is a little bit of a different story. Javon Hargrave obviously has missed the majority of the year and will not play the rest of the season. But you've had relative health elsewhere. Obviously, Nick Bosa, another big one that missed the game on Sunday against the Packers. But this is generally two units that, for the most part, have been relatively healthy. And on the defensive side, even before Javon Hargrave went down, I think you guys saw some of these issues cropping up even before that. And I know you pointed out yesterday, Javon Hargrave, not really the run stopper that you're going to get on the interior of the D-line. He's more one of the best pass rushers on the interior of the D-line in the NFL. At least he has been in his past. This almost sounds to me, guys, it's like a failure not just on the guys on the field, but a failure of planning on the coaching staff in the front office from putting enough dudes on the roster in the first place. Like, this goes further than just, the guys aren't playing well. This goes to, did the roster get set up in such a way to lead them to success this year?
I don't think it did. I think that's something that I called out from the start of the season, that I was worried about the defensive tackle spot. And I know they got Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos, but that doesn't help you on the interior, even though they're having to play Gross-Matos as a defensive tackle because they don't have the dudes. It's just something where I know that their fundamental is to get after the quarterback, but you have to stop the run and be sound there to be able to do that. And I like Malik Collins mostly as a pass rusher. He's not a great run defender. Him and Javon Hargrave next to each other, it's not a great run. That was their plan. It was those two guys who were both on the wrong side of 30, who are really good pass rushers, but are not the sort of gap-plugging nose tackles that can really hold up against double teams and be gap sound. And they didn't address that position. And then Devondre Campbell, he was, I think, a little bit better in this second half, but he's not been good this year. And so you have that next to Fred Warner, and you're asking so much of your linebackers and your DBs to get downhill and funnel, and there are questions to be asked about Jair Brown and how quickly he triggers to the ball. There's just a lot of question marks, and it's every single game. And so that goes back to, as you're saying, I think that is a question for the front office of, did they set up this roster for success? And I don't really think they did.
Yeah. So 888-957-9570, how did we get here? Where did we go wrong? Is this just a case of players not playing up to their potential? Or is this just a team that, whatever the reason, whether it was financial constraints and deciding to pay Javon Hargrave 2 years ago and needing to pay Ayuk and Debo a couple years before that and what Bosa did to you a year and a half ago, or is this just a front office, coaching staff, a team, you know, team-wide that maybe misinterpreted who they have on their team this year?
Well, it's just hard. You can't put no Shetland pony in the Kentucky Derby and think you're going to win.
I say that every day.
You know, you just can't do it. And when you're talking about the points that you're making, I'm just sitting here and you're talking about here Hargrave, and here's these guys that are elite type of pass rushers in the interior.
Yeah.
So now you're saying, I have an elite pass rusher in interior, which is great. But now when I got to ask that player to be an every down player, now I got to ask him to hold up against a double team. I got to ask him to hold up and play 30, 40, 50, 60 plays a game, hold up against a run. But now I'm third and two or three. I got to go tell you to go get the quarterback. You've already spent a lot of energy because you're not used to taking on double teams because you've been a spot player. You've been a guy that's usually for third down. You have different type of offense and defenses as you're playing against, and you've not been asked to do that role. Now you're putting guys in a role that they're not. They're those guys that are going to beat you. They're going to beat you up front, boom, boom, real quick. But now they're jumping out of a lane to beat you, but they're opening up a space. See, these are those type of guys, because Harvard and them, they're so quick with their hands. Bam, bam. And they might already beat the guard. but they're up the field on the left side and the right side's wide open. Now you got a gap that you can go through, and now the linebackers having to do too much. So you got guys that can play certain things, but they do not fit this system, and that's what makes this system not be effective because you got guys penetrating upfield, beating their guys because they're not strong enough at the point to say, you know what? I'm going to be mano a mano. I'm going to hold a point. I'm going to hold this double team, and I'm going to let the linebacker. They're not good enough. They're not. That's not how they're built. I'm not saying they're not good. They're not built for this system.
I agree. And I think that's exactly what the Packers attacked, especially in the first half, is they let those guys get upfield, and they said, okay, fine, see ya later. And then they did that little, you know, Jordan Love did his little pirouette handoff. Huh. Jaden Reed, you know, went in orbit motion behind him, and then Josh Jacobs had a hole right up the middle because the 49ers defensive tackles are nowhere to be seen. And by that point, you know, the linebackers are getting cleared out. And it's just hard when the thing that's supposed to be your first line of defense is not involved in the play.
Okay, so what is maybe most concerning for me, if I'm trying to think about this as from a Niners fan's perspective, and maybe even from a front office perspective, a team building perspective, about not this season, but in the future. If you got all these issues cropping up where you just don't, you simply don't have the dudes, or maybe you have some dudes, but they're not in the right spot, or the scheme isn't right, whatever the case
partial,
may be.
Partial dudes.
You got parts of some dudes. All these issues are cropping up right now when you're paying your quarterback $1 million. What happens when your quarterback is making near the top of the league? It's going to become 10 times more difficult to get the right kind of talent in here to fix the issues that are plaguing the offensive and defensive lines, right? That has to be a major, major concern for John Lynch, for Kyle Shanahan, for everyone in the front office thinking about, okay, we got issue X, issue Y, and issue Z. How do we go and do this? We don't really have guys that we drafted recently that are waiting to fill in those spots. By the way, if they did, they would be playing and they would be succeeding right now. So, we're going to have to pay our quarterback this offseason. We're already kind of in financial trouble considering all the other contracts that we've handed out, and it's a good problem to have. You want to have guys that deserve that kind of money, and the Niners have had a lot of those guys. But it's only going to get more difficult. And if this season is as ugly as it is in the trenches, what will it look like 2 years from now when maybe Brock Purdy is making upwards of $50 million, $55, $60 million a year?
Yeah, I think it tells you everything you need to know about this team that at the trade deadline,
right.
The only move they made was to send a 2025 seventh rounder for a defensive tackle who is not playing for them at all.
Hasn't played a snap, right?
I think he played the first game, and I'm pretty sure he's been inactive the next two. He's not, either way, he has not had any impact whatsoever. I think you get into it where they just said, all right, well, are we really going anywhere? The front office is going, what is this season going to be?
Are they waving the white flag at the trade deadline?
I think they're going, well, maybe McCaffrey solves it, but maybe just as likely, or more likely, he doesn't solve it. And so we have to think about, all right, let's stockpile and hold on to these assets. They've got a bunch of extra picks. They should have 2 third-rounders, 2 fourths, I think 3 sevenths, depending on how that compensatory stuff goes down. But they're going to have a full array of picks. And so I think they went, well, there's so many needs. You could point to a bunch of needs, and there wasn't one clear thing. So, you know, hold on. We're not really sold on this roster to do it. Let's just, you know, we drafted well this year. Let's do it again next year, and maybe that's what will preserve us.
Yeah, this is simple for me. I think that you and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan needs to sit down. And this offseason, you got to have that come to Zegers talk. And it's got to be serious and it's got to be direct. Cal and John has to get back on the same page and get locked in. What do I mean by that? You're saying, hey, they got half the man, they got half the guys. You're right, they got some guys that can do it, some guys that can't. This is going to be a fundamental thing where these coaches and head coach and the scout and John, the GM, have to be on the same page and say, what are we playing? What kind of defense are we going to have? And what type of offense? Because you can't just say, we're going to stay with this system if you're going to get those type of guys. You can't ask your chef to make you a gumbo and you don't have no seafood and you don't have a seafood gumbo and you don't have seafood. So you got to figure out what are they trying to make? That's the biggest disconnect. Because like you said, Hargrave is still one of the best pass rushers as far as interior line. But is that what you want? What are you trying to do defensively, offensively? What are you doing? You want him on a zone off? Then I got to go get linemen that can come off the ball, that's going to create a new line of scrimmage, that's going to be able to maul people, push people off the ball, that still can run lateral. If I don't have that, I got to go get that. What type of system are you trying to create? And right now, the 49ers, to me, they're not on the same page, office and front office and coach, because your players don't fit the scheme that you're trying to do right now, especially defensively.
Well, it's weird because, and this gets into maybe coaching staff issues, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. You just have so many guys and so many talented guys that are getting promoted and leaving for other jobs. I mean, you just run through each of the last, like, 4 years. Robert Saleh in 2020, Mike McDaniel in 2021, D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick in 2022, Clint Kubiak last year, 2023, and there are others, of course, but you're getting to a point where maybe your coaching staff is relatively... The coaching staff cupboard is relatively bare now, and you don't have the names that can fill in at that spot. And now you're asking relatively inexperienced coaches, potentially, guys that maybe aren't ready for the jobs that they're stepping into, to try to fit a square peg in a round hole, to try to make this defensive front into one that frees up Fred Warner, to make this offensive line work for a zone stretch running scheme. Like,
but it can't. It can't, and that's what we're talking about. When you hear your coach say, "Hey, look, I got guys shooting. I gotta watch the tape to see. I got guys just. I want them to shoot. If they miss, it's okay because they're coming full speed. A bunch of guys, and then it's swarm time."
You got Nick Sorensen saying, "We teach them to be aggressive, and sometimes that leads to missed tackles." Well, you don't have the talent behind the guy missing the tackle to clean up the missed tackle.
That's what's going on. So there are some fundamental things that has to change with this team. You know, if they're going to try to get this thing to work, Jake, Shanahan got to tell John, this is what I need, or whoever's the D coordinator, whoever's going to play the style of defense they want to play, or if you're going to change the defensive scheme altogether, you got to get the players to play the scheme that you're trying to create. You don't have a team like a 3-4 defense, the Steelers, the 3-4. You got to have great outside linebackers, can play up, play down, put their hand in the dirt, can play the 3-4, can cover. Oh, that's a 3-4 defense. You play with four linebackers. A 4-3, you play with four down linemen and three linebackers. 3-4, you play with three down linemen, four linemen. So, do you have the right guys for the scheme that you're trying to do? And that's what we have not seen, in my opinion.
I'm with you. I think fundamentally you're going to have to go into this offseason, and you can almost name every single position as a position of need. You go, okay, linebacker, yes. Defensive tackle, yes. Defensive end, probably. Wide receiver, sure. You could use another backup wide receiver. You don't know how long Ayuk is going to be out. Offensive line, clearly. You can name basically any position other than probably right guard, because you're going to need a future Trent Williams replacement. Yeah. You can go through just about every position on this roster as a position of need, but I think we're all on the same page here that they have to start in the trenches. You have to get more physical. You just don't have enough dudes that are beefy that can hold up and create force, and then you don't have guys behind it that are executing that way. And so I think Kyle and John have a shared vision. Right. I just think that vision might have to evolve, and they have to take this offseason, assuming this thing continues to go sideways, which I think most of us expect. And they're going to have to say, all right, what do we have to look at? Do we have to reevaluate the way we value certain positions and move forward under a new vision?
You can't miss in a draft. You cannot miss, like you're saying. You know what I'm saying?
They did for 3 or 4 straight years almost.
Right. They have. But you, Jake is bringing up some great valid points, because I'm going to tell you right now, there's a guy that people think, oh, he's going to play forever and he's a beast. And we know it. Nicky Bosa. Nicky can't play 70, 80 plays a game. This guy's going to break down.
He's been playing more this season. He's played more than he's ever played. Maybe he's currently breaking down.
Because you can't keep this guy out. You got to get serviceable backups that's going to come in and productivity don't fall. Look what happened when he went off the field. And that just goes to show he has to play at a certain level all the time. If he doesn't, defense is not good. So there's a lot of things that this team as an organization has to just say, look, this is what who are we trying to be? What is our identity going forward? If we're going to win, we have to understand we need to change some things philosophy-wise. If we're going to use these type of guys, then we need to say we got to put a defensive scheme that's going to fit what they can do, and we can't be stubborn.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. Changing things philosophy-wise, you use the word evolve. I think that's what has to happen this offseason. The only question is – Is Kyle Shanahan too stubborn to do that? And that's something we can continue to dive in as the show moves along today. We do got to get out of here in just a sec because we got Mark Schlereth coming up on the other side. Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL Insider, will pick his brain. I'm sure he would love to talk about the trenches, and I'm sure he's seeing the same thing we're all seeing. The Niners not good in the trenches suddenly. That's coming up on the other side. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And also, Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. Again, that's BayAreaOilChange.com. Coming up on the other side, it's Mark Schlereth. Stink joins Willard and Dibbs, but no Willard and Dibbs today or for this entire Thanksgiving week. Happy early Thanksgiving to everybody out there. It's Mark Randy, one of the greatest fullbacks of all time, Lo Neal, and Hutch, Jake Hutchinson, who you read Niners and Bay Area sports on 95.7 The Game all the time. We're back with more coming up next right here on 95.7 The Game.